we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. We are ready to wrap up another week, and I hope that you have good plans for the weekend and are already making worshiping in God's house a priority for you this weekend. If you do not have a church home, consider this your personal invitation to come and visit Merritt Assembly of God. I will be preaching this weekend and would love to have you come by. We're going to be talking about desires, godly desires instead of ungodly desires. Everybody's got desires. Satan has desires for your life. Those desires are not good. They're not healthy. They're not in your best interest. And so I encourage you today that if you would like some transformation in your life, that God helps you to give you desires for the things that he would want you to have in this coming year, that you come out and be a part of what God is doing this Sunday morning at 10:30. We want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need help with your air conditioning or with your heating, give them a call and they can come out. They can take care of the traditional air conditioner unit with an outside condensing unit and an air handler on the inside. They can handle package units. They can handle split units that are becoming very popular these days. If you need your heat checked, Bill was telling me last week that they've been doing a lot of calls on those. It wasn't last week. It was just this Sunday. So if you need someone to get your home air conditioning and heating system up to speed here in the central part of the county, you can give them a call, 321-759-3284, and they will be a blessing in your life. And you can stay warm and toasty when you need to and cool when you need to stay cool. We're going to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 today. I think we might, just depends on how long we elaborate on these verses, but we're talking about the fruit of faithfulness, and God's word is faithful. God's word is faithful. And, I think it's great that God never expects us to manifest fruit that he is unwilling to manifest. And I pray that your word would be considered a faithful word, that when, you give your word about something, that it is going to be something that you do everything in your power to make sure that you honor that word. And we have been talking about a person who desires the office of a bishop and how that church office, if you will, requires characteristics resembling a believer. If you want to put it another way, there are expectations that go with a person who is desiring to be a spokesperson for God. And my take on this is I believe that every believer should live like this, because these are admirable qualities. They're not punitive qualities. They're admirable qualities. They are designed to make everyone's life in the community better. So verse number one, verses 1-7, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So in verse number 2, it says a bishop then must be. So a lot of times, a lot of the programs we've been dealing with in this passage, we have been talking about the characteristics. I want to start off today by pointing out that these are imperatives. They're not optional. These are things that are the church, the Christian community, and the community in which we live should be able to expect from us. It should be an anomaly when we do not experience, when they do not find these things in Christian ministers, in Christians as a whole. As I pointed out earlier, I think it should be expected, even in 2018, that they would find these things in believers' lives. So, just reviewing, blameless, that they've dealt with their sin issue, and they're asking God to empower them to live the way that they should be. That their marriage is intact, it's healthy, it's holy, it is sound, temperate and sober-minded. They know how to think, they know how to process thoughts, they know how to keep themselves under control. Of good behavior, they know how to act publicly and privately. They are hospitable. In other words, they have a heart that is open to ministering to people, and they're not closed off. That they are able to teach. Communication is still something that everybody is doing. You might have to find other or unique ways to go about it, but there are ways to communicate. And we need to strive to make the teaching of the gospel an admirable and acceptable presentation. We're setting the table. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But we need to make sure that we are teaching the Word of God, teaching with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, teaching truth, teaching eternal truth, and doing it in a way that people are going to receive it. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy. So there are several things that are not supposed to be in our lives, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not covetous. So there are some things that Paul writes to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and he says there are going to be some things that are excluded from a bishop's life. There are going to be some things that are not acceptable. And that's where the rubber tends to meet the road, because there are some people who are not going to want to surrender certain things. So I'm going to let the Spirit of the Lord influence me. I'm not going to allow alcohol to do it. I'm not going to be violent. I'm not going to be ruled by money. I'm going to be gentle and not quarrelsome, and I'm not going to allow covetousness to rule and reign in my life. A bishop in the church should have Jesus operating in his home. It says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. That's where we have been thus far. And then there is a qualifier. There is an explanation in verse number 5 as to the requirements that are mentioned in verse number 4. Verse 4 says, rules his own house well, having his children in submission and with all reverence. Verse 5 says, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And so there we see what we've seen in other places in the scripture. If you are not faithful in that which is another man's, how will you ever be entrusted with something that is your own? Here we see that if you are faithful, the truth, the scriptural truth that says if you are faithful in small things, God will make you, you will be faithful in much. That if you are faithful in a little, God will make you faithful over much. And so here it says that the way that we operate within our own home is also the way that is going to indicate how well we are going to serve in the church of God. And in the assemblies of God, we're held accountable. We're held accountable to the life that we lead. As an ordained Assemblies of God minister, there are certain things that I agreed not to do, not to partake of. And so every year I have to reaffirm. If I'm going to continue to serve in the Assemblies of God, I've got to affirm that I still believe what I said I believed. I'm still supporting the things that I said that I was going to support. And I'm still abstaining from things that I said that I would abstain from. It's not up for negotiation. And so I think it would do us well from time to time to do a self-examination. That's one of the things that takes place at the beginning of the year, is a lot of times people look back at their past year and they look at their current year and they say, is there anything that we need to eliminate? Is there anything that is out of order in our home? And don't let those things rule and reign. So we are making adjustments to certain aspects of our home, as far as what comes into our home, and so we're going to be eliminating certain things because it doesn't give us the value for the cost, and we just don't participate in watching television. To be honest with you, it's watching television. There are ways that we can go about watching what we want to watch that cost way less money. And so we are going to be making a change. We had signed a contract. That contract is up. And now we are in the investigative process of what works best for us. So know how to rule your own house. Your home. Look, you need to make sure that you know how to take care of your house. Even if you're a renter, I encourage you, make sure you take good care of that landlord's property. Because however you take care of their property is a great indication of how well you would take care of it if it's your own. And you want to be a person, the Bible says don't, a slothful man has saggy rafters in his house. He doesn't focus much on the upkeep and everything. It says, how will he take care of the church of God? Now I can tell you this, that there are certain things around my house that many times those items get pushed to the back burner, but it's not because they're not important. It's because there are things at the church that need to be taken care of. Let me ask you, how are you? How concerned are you about the church that you go to? Have you given any consideration to how the church gets cleaned, or ever stopped to think of, I wonder how that grass never needs to be mowed, or who trims the bushes, or who does the landscaping? Is there have you ever considered who does the setup and all of that sort of stuff? Now, you may attend a large church and they have a staff that takes care of all of that, but I'm sure that there is some place in the church that you could serve that if you just allowed God to speak into your life, he could point out some areas in the church that need some attention. So on Sunday night when I was speaking, I think it was Sunday night, I was talking about my pastor. It might have been Sunday morning, but the pastor that I grew up under taught me of how to look at details that other people just kind of blew off or didn't pay attention to. He said he would point out things like, you see that sign over there on the church property? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you see what it says on the sign? I said, yes. He said, that sign was supposed to be changed a week ago. I told somebody to change it and they haven't changed it. I want you to know I haven't forgotten. Fortunately, it wasn't me that he had told to change it. And another time I came into the gymnasium that the church had, and he was slightly older than I am now, not by much, but by a little bit. And I came in And I found that he had erected a scaffolding that was probably four scaffolds high, maybe five. And he was up there. He had set them up all by himself because during youth ministry, someone had hit one of the ceiling tiles and caused it to knock, to be ajar. And he said, I can fix that. I'll just take care of it. So I learned to pay attention to the details. And so I'll see things that others don't see. And then at church, a lot of times I'll ask people if they see things that I don't see. What can happen is, you know, there's a commercial that's on television that talks about you can go nose blind to the sense of your car or your house or your room. Other people would notice it as soon as they walk in, but you may not see it. We can become so comfortable that we fail to pay attention to some details that other people would notice when they come in. And so this winter to spring season at Merit Assembly of God, there are several things that we're going to be addressing to try and take care of those things, because we don't want the house of God to fall into disrepair. There was a minor prophet who, in his writings, pointed out, yes, you all are living in your beautiful homes, but what about the temple of God? How come you're living in places of cedar, and yet the house of God is being neglected? In case you think I'm making that up, it's the book of Haggai. It's the book that is in between Zephaniah, and then there's Haggai, then there's Zechariah, then there's Malachi. It says, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. So, We want to serve well, and I believe that every person. I have a book in my library. It's written by a CEO. He said, I learned to be a CEO by being a janitor at the church. He said, and I decided I just didn't want to get it a little clean. He said, I wanted to go in, and I wanted to, the bathrooms that I cleaned, I wanted them to be more clean than any bathroom anyone would ever visit. And so he describes in the book how he would go in and he would intentionally focus and look to see if there was anything that needed attention, and then he would take care of it. He would look for things that nobody else would think to look up on for a quick glance. Verse number 6 says that not only does a person need to know how to rule his own house, because it's going to reflect how well he takes care of the church of God, but second, it says not a novice. Now, I find it really interesting that in verse 5 and verse 6 that it starts giving us reasons for these things. I want you to know God doesn't have to justify himself to you and I. When I served for a pastor one time, he said, I told my son, He's, you know, when my son asked why, I said, because I said so. That's the best reason I know and the only one that you need. And so I adopted that as well. Now, I do also explain to my kids what's going on. I just do it when there's something to be communicated, not simply because they had an inquiry as to how they could get out of it. It says, not a novice, not a beginner, not an inexperienced person. You and I, we need to be discipled before we can effectively disciple other people. I think we need to allow some time for the Spirit of God to work adequately in a person's life. Let me tell you, ministering to people is very challenging. If you do not have spiritual maturity about you, you will end up being broken and bleeding and wounded and lying on side of the road like the man that the Good Samaritan helped, and you will be wondering what happened to you. That's one thing that can happen. The other thing that I have seen happen a number of times is if you have a tremendous amount of success, but you do not have the character inside of you, that success can end up devastating your ministry. You can have what happens to you exactly what talks about here in verse number 6, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. If you have premature success, it can end up being more than your character can handle. And if you become arrogant, if you become proud, I just want to remind you, the scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It says that it was because of pride that people would fall into the same, listen to this, condemnation as the devil. It doesn't say you will just slip up character-wise. You end up with the same condemnation. Instead of salvation, you have condemnation. And I don't want to see any person who's been a laborer in the kingdom of God experience the same attitude towards God that the devil had. You know, I encourage people, always remember, God's God and you're not. I tell people at church, I said, you know what? One of the things I am so thankful for is that I'm not God. And I said, and there's a second thing I praise God for, and that is that you are not God. Because we would be lousy at being God. And so if you do experience success, phenomenal success, I want to encourage you, stay humble, because it is the Spirit of God working in you through the giftings that God has given you that is accomplishing results that are glorious to God. It's all about God. He partners with us, and we are used to accomplish those things because that's the path he's chosen. But remember, it's God working in us and through us. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. And the last thing is verse number 7. We'll move on to another topic on Monday. Moreover, he must, there's that mandatory word again, he must have a good testimony. Okay, you must have a good, now that doesn't mean you must have a spectacular testimony. A lot of times in Christianity and in modern times, we celebrate the spectacular testimony. I believe that this is saying you must have a testimony that lives among people that Jesus has forgiven you of your sins, is empowering you to live in victory over sin, and that he has equipped you to help others accomplish that same goal. My testimony is not all that spectacular. I pretty much grew up in church. I wasn't always in church, but from a pretty early age, I was in church. By the time of 9, I was being baptized and was already knew that God had called me to be a pastor. I never really wandered too far, but I never, but in high school, I was not all that passionate about my pursuit of God. It was kind of a lackadaisical thing. It wasn't until my senior year in high school where I made the pursuit of God to be a very, very vital part of my life. I had led people to the Lord, but I was pretty casual about my relationship with him up until then. And then from then on, it was, okay, I'm enrolling in Bible college. I'm going on a missions trip. I'm going to get involved in ministry. And it has been quite the ride since. So you must have, my spectacular isn't that You know, I was in jail. I was a drug addict and all that. Praise God for the people who were in jail and God delivered them and set them free and radically transformed their lives, delivered them from drugs, delivered them from alcohol, restored their marriages and all of that. I praise God for that. That's the grace of God. But the grace of God is also, look, I saved you, I sustained you, and I kept you from misery. This is a testimony that others have to say about you, that people recognize. It says, this is a testimony, must have a good testimony among those who are outside. And if I can challenge you here on this Friday, and that is this, ministry is not just something that takes place in the four walls of the church. It also is what you do outside the four walls of the church. Earlier this week, I had an appointment. I was talking to someone, and they were saying, our pastor is trying, it's not an Assembly of God church. He said, our pastor is trying to encourage us to do ministry outside the four walls of the church. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody, from the pastor on down, everybody needs to have a good testimony among those inside the church and outside the church. I'm not so concerned about what you say about you. What I really want to know is how well do people respect your Christian experience? Here's the reason for that. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. If our testimony is only valid inside the church and people outside of the church don't want to have anything to do with us, then we are going to fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. What does it say? In the NIV, it says, he must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Just because you and I are believers does not mean that the devil has given up on retrapping you, building another stronghold in your life. Don't give him the opportunity. Live your life well inside the church and outside the church. Here in the Amplified says basically the same thing. It says, does not... lest he become involved in slander and incur reproach and fall into the devil's trap. I'm so thankful that Jesus is about setting us free from the devil's trap, not delivering us from sin so that we could just jump right back into it. God wants you to live in liberty and freedom from the snares of the enemy, and I pray that you would live this weekend in the glorious truth of Jesus Christ. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To be a man for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.